SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three. Day four of the five-day Kentucky Downs season and rescheduled in its entirety from Sunday. No redraw. What you printed up maybe for the Sunday card is what you're going to get today. And I don't know if Byron King had to resubmit selections or not. Byron joins us from the Daily Racing Form. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you, buddy?
Very good. And did you look at these races again and maybe make any adjustments to selections?
Not really. I mean, it's obviously at the time that I had to resubmit them, they did do another scratch time. So there might be the few odd horses that were scratched one day and not scratched another day, maybe just because of shipping or whatever. But in the end, there wasn't a whole lot that a few days was going to change to my handicapping, so I went with what I went the first time.
Well, and let's get some thoughts in general about your approach. We haven't talked this year, but we have in the past over the years. We have talked about Kentucky Downs and how you bet it. For those that may be getting a chance to play today and tomorrow for the first time, New York doesn't run again until Friday, and then next week they resume the five-day schedule Wednesday through Sunday. So I think there's going to be a lot of people playing today and tomorrow, Byron, that might not ordinarily get a chance to look at Kentucky Downs. Some themes and some thoughts to your approach overall before we talk specifics.
Well, a few primers on it. One thing that they do very well is they do low takeout. So, for fans that want to support tracks that offer a low takeout, dive in with Kentucky Downs. This is a chance to show that that's an important issue for the horse player. For example, their pick four there is 14%, which is among the lowest you could possibly find for a pick four. Some tracks will do low pick fives, but very rarely will you see something like that, which is pretty incredible. And then while on that topic, the Racing Form, DRF Bets, our betting platform, offers another promotion related to their late pick four. So if you play the late pick four through DRF Bets, they have a zero takeout promotion, which is fantastic. So up to $100, they'll refund the 14% takeout out of it. So there's really no reason to not be playing the late pick four through DRF Bets.
Nice. Well, and of course, one of the other advantages is the opportunity, and I don't bring this up, I haven't brought it up in ages, the opportunity to use Ticketmaker and slap it right into your play. And that's a feat tremendous.
Yeah, it is. And it also gives you, of course, when you play with DRF Bets, you get access to a lot of the features available through the Daily Racing Form that offer her at a cost, and you get that as a perk of being a DRF Bets supporter. And they also have a nice promotion now for people that are new to the platform. I believe it's either deposit 50 and bet 50, and you get $150 back. So right off the bat, so you're going in with $50 and playing with $200. So that's hard to go wrong there. So if you haven't tried it, I certainly encourage it. Beyond that, plug for my employer, but at the same time, it's a good deal, truly, But beyond that, it's a good product for Kentucky Downs. If you like full fields and you like, grass racing, that's what it is.
When it comes to approaching the undulating course? Is there certain scenarios, Byron, that you know that you reach out for? And you know, one of the things that is a little unusual is the circumstances where, even though it looks like there's some horses interested in being on or near, I'm always mystified at Kentucky Downs, the occasions where a horse wires. And when you looked at the race, and this is, I mean, I know that we talk about, you know, oddball snatch and grab scenarios in turf racing, you know, everywhere in the country, but it for some reason horses seem to get loose at Kentucky Downs and wire, and you look back and you say, how did that horse, you know, why was that horse isolated and then nobody could catch him going up the hill? I mean, what is your pace scenario approach to what goes on, and is it any different in those 6.5 furlong sprints versus the longer races, a mile and yards and even longer? What's your approach on pace and looking at fields?
Well, I think a couple thoughts, and those are all good points. I think the Kentucky riding colony is not a really aggressive send early kind of crew on the grass, so that's one. But I do believe that you have, I think sometimes those sprints, because there are fewer dirt options for horses or sprinter types, that I think you'll get a little more pace a lot of times in those 6.5. Also, those horses, those turf sprinters, are usually accustomed to going 5.5 or 5, the distances they've been going at Churchill or Ellis. So you've got a bit of a longer turf sprint. So those would not be, in general terms, the race that I would necessarily look to for like a low and speed kind of type. I think you're more likely to kind of catch that, you know, going in their mile 70, mile 16 kind of races. Obviously, then too, those are one turn races, much like how Belmont would run a one turn mile. But then they do the two turns when they go. I believe it's a mile and 5/16 is their shortest two turn race, and then of course they run as far as a mile and a half, which is like the Kentucky Cup Classic the other day. But that first turn is much sharper for those mile and 5/16 races. That first turn is very sharp, whereas that second one, the one people are accustomed to seeing for the 6.5 furlong mile races, that kind of thing, is a very sweeping one. So I always like a little bit of inside position and speed for those mile and 5/16. But again, I'm speaking in general terms. Naturally, you have to look who's lined up. I mean, you can't just repeat that race after race and expect it to work. It has to, you know, be in line with how the, you know, the pace scenario looks like it might unfold on paper too.
We've gotten very accustomed to hearing certain names, and you know, Mike Maker, who felt like he was in a doldrum throughout the summer, particularly here at Saratoga, Byron, immediately came alive from day one at Kentucky Downs, and it same could be, I guess, said for Julien Leperoux to some extent, and Florent Giroux. Are there combinations that you know that you, when trying to separate horses, you tend to lean on at all?
Well, certainly. I mean, when you look at the results that Mike Maker has had at Kentucky Downs, I mean, he's the all-time leading trainer here. But this year in particular, it's been pretty amazing. I mean, his horses have just been running lights out. I mean, for the first time, he lost the Kentucky Cup Turf Classic race, or whatever they call it now. But I think he was second, third, fifth, something like that, you know. So he still ran, you know, great in there. I think, as we all know with Saratoga, it can be a humbling experience going up there. A lot of great trainers go up there, and jockeys for that matter, go up there. And it's tough. You know, it's tough when you're running against the Chad Browns and the Todd Fletchers, and then when you throw in the added variables such as this year of so many off-the-grass races or run on wet turf or circumstances that just make it tough. So I think that is partially a reflection on why maybe he had a quiet summer, but then also, too, because he gears up for this one. I mean, he has a lot of Kentucky clients. The money, it seems odd to say, but it's a lot better than Saratoga. So, when we're talking everyday, overnight purses because of their historical racing settlements, I mean, you're talking $140,000 allowance races. So I think that's a combination. Leperu has always ridden this course very well on the jockey front, along with Florent Giroux, both guys, from France. I don't know if it's in people's heads that maybe they think, well, this is a European-style course, so I'm going to ride a European-style jockey. But I think that might pop in people's head a little bit. But naturally, they've had a lot of success on this course over the years. And, that feeds feeds the whole success from prior years. So just keeps the momentum going. So it's not surprising to see them doing well, but to the extent that Mike Maker is doing is just really amazing. There's some of them that he had winners that I thought were, pretty much outsiders, and they really jumped up.
Well, we kick off today with a maiden race that I've already mentioned to people. I mentioned it even in advance of the cancellation going into last weekend. And in the first today, going to go off at 2:25 Eastern is the start of the card. Rotation, the Tappet colt out of Free Spin, the Olympio mare that has already produced Retap, Remit, and Tappeture, the full brother to Tappeture, debuts here, going a mile on the grass. And one of the things that Kentucky Downs will make you do, Byron, is pedigree work. You have to dive into Formulator, pull up the mares, and see who has succeeded on grass, because there's going to be any number of not just two-year-olds, making transitions from dirt to turf, or making first starts. Pedigree work pays off when you play Kentucky Downs.
Well, that's a very interesting pedigree on this particular horse, and of course, it's Steve Asmussen trains this one as well as he has, the whole family over the years. And I've always been impressed by how well prepared his youngsters are. He does a lot of gate schooling, a lot of prep work to get them ready first time out, and it tends to show. Having said that, Kentucky Downs has not been a track over the years where he, I don't think, has experienced the same level of success. And I think partially that's a result of him having, a little more, say, dirt-oriented horses than, say, a guy like Maker, whose barn is primarily grass horses. So, but this horse clearly has some pedigree. There's some other good options in that race, too. I mean, it's far from a, I don't think this first-timer by any means is far from a slam dunk in here. I took a shot with a horse called Unity, who has more of a value play, but this is a horse that's nice run well with troubled trips, and has the benefit of experience. But there's also another horse in here called Busy Channel, who would not surprise me if this one goes favorite. It was a horse purchased privately after a runner-up finish at Arlington for Patricia's Hope, now running for that stable, Larry Ravelli. So it's pretty good maiden race. But as I said, I took a little bit of a price chance with Unity. So going for the Run Happy connections of Mattress Mac, McInvale. So, but a lot of options.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned Busy Channel. Ravelli, as you mentioned, the private purchase, working at Arlington and being by English Channel. And I'm going to assume that the course, they listing the course is good, maybe, or do we know yet?
I have not had a chance to check.
All right.
My colleague Marty McGee will be down there today, so naturally he'll have some posts, but I'm not quite sure. If I'm up in Louisville, so I'm about 2 hours away, but we took a significant amount of rain. I don't believe they had the same amount that we did. We had like near record rainfall, whatever it was, Saturday evening. But I would handicap for a little bit of good in the ground if I just had to guess. But again, I am not on site there today. Marty McGee is traveling there, but I will be there tomorrow. But I would think it would have a good chance of being something in the good vicinity.
With a little cut in the ground, and certainly English Channel progeny, they like to dig their toe in a little bit. There's plenty of pedigree. We talked to Ben Colebrook the other day as well, the Temple City firster for Mrs. Wills, I should say Dr. Wills, Fluellen in here. McPeak brings back Salvador Mundi and adds Lasix, takes off the hood, which was a bit of a fiasco, frankly, at Saratoga with this Artie Schiller colt. This is a nice group, and I will also my friend Lee Einsiedler has Majestic Hero in here, who is going to get on the grass. And Majestic Hero debuted at Saratoga just to basically get a start in, and the grass was intended for this one, and then he got rained off in mid-August, a couple of weeks later. And now he does get on the grass, and he's going to be a big price, the two horse, and may deserve at least a look as an exotic inclusion. Majestic Hero with the two, and gets the services of Jose Ortiz. So just a little alert. Let's jump to the six, Byron, and give everybody a glance at the pick five and that low takeout pick four. The sixth is one of those starter allowances that is serving as an outpost prep for the claiming crown. 6.5, and I thought there were a few ways to go in here. What'd you do?
Well, I thought it was a puzzler because, to me, in this race, you have a lot of horses whose primary surface is the dirt or synthetic or something like that. So I'm always a little wary because it's really tempting to go after these great purses with a dirt horse, and we'll take a shot, but I'd rather have the proven kind of turf form. So I went with the 6-1 shot, Sanity. This is a horse coming from Woodbine who has been running either on turf or synthetic up there in off-the-turf races and things, but clearly is a turf synthetic kind of performer. If you toss out his dirt losses over the years, this horse, and just look at his synthetic and turf, her record, I should say, she's, 7-4-11 in those kind of races. And she's sitting at 6-1. So I think that's the value of the race, in my opinion. Now, granted, a lot of that, that record came against, claimers and starter horses, but a lot of these horses are similar, although there are some stakes quality in here, such as Kirby's Penny, who won the Grade 3 Vagrancy and was a distant third and honorable miss last time. So
he
probably goes favorite.
She came out. She's a personal favorite of mine, Kirby's Penny, but she's out.
Yeah, well, you have still a number of other kind of dirt kind of horses that were entered in here. Obviously, that's going to lower the prices on everybody, including my selection now. I doubt we'll be looking at 6-1, but but she would have taken a lot of money. But Honey Bunny is kind of, a horse who's done her best work on dirt this summer, but who was a turf sprinter down at the fairgrounds over the winter. So it's kind of a tricky evaluation for her, has trainer John Ortiz just elevated her? Can she therefore run at the same level on turf, or the dirt part of the reason for her development this summer? So a lot of question marks for horse players, I think, in the six. But again, I'm going with Sanity.
Sanity, definitely one of the major players for Mark Cassie and Florent Giroux. Down inside, I'm going to use Michelle Lovell and Love on Tides. Jack Gilligan aboard, and happens to be the only horse in this group that's got a win at Kentucky Downs. Won a first level allowance here going this trip last year. And so Love on Tides, 12-1. And also, I would take a look and use the Cowboy Cal mare, Zafical, the 6. Seems like after the long layoff, Zafical is really raced into shape at Arlington over the summer, starting back in June, and was off 16 months, and just came off a career best second level allowance win, has won 2 straight, and 10-1, Robbie Alborado. So for me, 1, 3, 6, 12 are the 4 that I'm going to use in that 6 to start the pick 5. We're going to go a mile and 70 yards, and this is the 7th. It starts the pick 4, Fillies and Mares and Byron King. What are we doing here?
I thought this is a pretty tricky race, as a lot of these are. I liked May Lily in this race, drawn on far outside. Just a really honest type horse. Just was recently 4th in a stake at Ellis Park. And what I've always liked this angle a little bit. When a horse runs well, it's obvious the horse ran well, 4th beaten 3/4 of a length, but no, it doesn't jump out quite the same way the 2nd or a 3rd does. But this horse was only beaten a nose and a head for, you know, the place money. So really ran a really fine race. That was in a stake, now back in a second level allowance. Run for more money, obviously, with Kentucky Downs. Drawn on the far outside, but, not knowing really how the course is right now and how it's going to play, I'm not going to overanalyze that too much. But I think she merits a slight edge, but certainly a number of ways you can go in here.
In addition to May Lily, who certainly plays, Summer Luck returns to the turf for Cassie and Barber. Jose Ortiz gets the call. Downtown Kitten is 20-1. Eduardo Caramori with this Kitten's Joy filly. And I thought Starving Artist, who certainly going to be your leader when they turn for home. Starving Artist and Adam Bachisa, who surprisingly is 1-21 after the first 3 days of racing at Kentucky Downs. I think the world of him, and I'm a little surprised that he hasn't found the wire more frequently. Let's look at the 2 stakes, the 3-year-old races, the Dueling Grounds, of course, the original name for Kentucky Downs, the Dueling Grounds Oaks, and the Dueling Grounds Derby, mile and 5/16. The 3-year-old girls go first. Some thoughts on the 8th.
Well, I thought this was a good rebound opportunity for Heavenly Love. This is something that I really thought quite highly of. I was down at Kentucky Downs last year when she broke her maiden, and I was like, wow. I mean, she not only rolled by 5 lengths, but she won with her ears pricked and just really looked like a nice filly, and then went on and won the Alcibiades in her next start, and went into the Breeders' Cup as one of the favorites, and bombed. You know, ran along the inside, but then just, I can't even give her the excuse of the inside that day because she stopped and got the 25. But she's been a puzzler since. She's had a number of lackluster efforts since winning the Alcibiades. But, you know, they're going back to what worked for her before. You know, they're putting her back on the course where she had success last year, and I think it's a nice move, and I think her form is cloudy enough right now that people are going to be, I think some will question whether or not to trust her in here, but I think their return to Kentucky Downs and just her raw ability, looks like she's training very fast and well, so she's my choice, Heavenly Love.
Heavenly Love, absolutely. 7-2, second choice behind Pamina for Michael Dickinson, and Pamina coming out of that effort in the Pucker Up where she was second to Secret Message. I mean, the two of them obviously make sense. If you're going to look for some prices, I thought that Jonathan Thomas might be a little clever in here with Osire. The Bridalwood, of course, his principal employer out of the very nice mare Bubbler, the Medaglia d'Oro filly, and was second behind the Next Out Stake winner, Lady Montador. That coming in an allowance at Saratoga at the beginning of August. So Osire, 8-1. I thought that Brendan Walsh was usable here as well with Cloak of Secrecy, Fergal Lynch, and you know, kind of a tractable type of filly, Scat Daddy for the Randall family. You're going to get a nice number there too, 12-1, and Rusty Arnold, who I always respect at places like Kentucky Downs or at Keeneland, and you know, Rusty knows his clients like winning at, you know, the spots like this. And Smart Shot, who took a while to break her maiden, and you know, was pretty milquetoast in that pucker up. Smart Shot is going to find her way on the bottom of my ticket. So I agree with the two favorites, the 3 and the 11. You know, they're the fillies to beat. But 1-6-12, feather them in for some price support. How about the Derby?
Well, the Derby is, you know, a race here where I like Channel Cat. Channel Cat is a horse that has been running up in New York, and though he has not won since a race back in March at Gulfstream, I think his form is really rock solid. I mean, this is a horse that was third and fourth in big races at Belmont behind Catholic Boy. Analyze It. We know they're, you know, the cream of the three-year-old turf crop for sure, and Catholic Boy obviously very versatile among the cream of the three-year-old dirt crop too. But Channel Cat, after those races, came back and ran against older horses in a really salty allowance up at Saratoga, ran second to Focus Group, who came back and, you know, narrowly won a stake at Saratoga. Soglio, who was third, ran pretty well in the Kentucky Cup turf race the other night day. So, you know, when a three-year-old runs that well against older horses, I view it as a sign of some significant quality. So, and he looks like he's a stayer. It looks like a horse that has gotten a lot better since they stretched him out. So I like Channel Cat.
Channel Cat makes a lot of sense in here. 7-2. Beyond that, you know, you can play around with a couple of different, maybe with a couple of different prices. And I wish we got a better number on Captivating Moon. I don't like him that much at 3-1. You've got Bandua coming back out of the solid. That was a solid enough try in the Secretariat. 4-1 on him. I mean, they're, everybody that you look at, Byron, that you know feels like they've got a serious chance. You know, they're all short priced. I wish I had something more clever. Maybe down inside that Fred's Twirling Candy, Lon Wiggins might be the right. And you get James Graham 12-1 might be the right exotic candidate to fill out your try and your super. That was the only real clever name that I could come up with. Let's close it out with the 1 mile maiden special weight for the 3 and ups.
Yeah, the nightcap, I like St. Denman, the 12. This is a horse that's just made steady improvement, and I'm hoping he can keep it going. He went from 7th first time out to 4th to 2nd, so he's moving forward. I don't think he's brilliant by any means, but I do think he seems to be heading in the right direction, and hopefully that can continue. And he's the right price, sitting up there at 10-1 in the nightcap.
Nice, that is a nice number. And why not? You know, how about the trip from out there? Any they've got pretty much the.
They
the
have
lope along
it's
back
the long
stretch.
One turn mile yeah. here, so yeah. You know, unless it's a ground issue, you know, I can't foresee that it would be a bad thing, certainly out there. But I think even if it's, you know, not the perfect post, I mean, he's 10-1. I'm not going to talk myself off him for that, you know, certainly. But I, for whatever reason, ended up in the sequence here with a lot of horses toward the outside. So I certainly hope it's okay out there. But well, we'll have to see. I did see on Equibase they had the course rating today listed as firm. So if that's the case, that would be a good thing.
Well, firm, if it's firm, that'll be impressive. I imagine there'll be the opportunity to dig a toe in.
Yeah, and I think sometimes those things, you know, we have to be. To be honest with you, I could go on a long discussion.
Dissertation.
Yeah, I mean, you look at overseas and how they have, you know, the going stick and all those kinds of things. I mean, why do we have to be so we lack precision when we just say firm, good, yielding, because to one track super or to one track, you know, good is different than soft and yielding, and you just have all these different interpretations. And beyond that fact, a lot of times the track, which will announce what their course is, has a little bit of an interest to try to make it seem like their course is in good a shape as possible, so they don't, you know, have lose any scratches, whatnot. So I don't really think it helps the horse player at all. I'd love to just see a nice statistical measurement that we could say, you know, hey, it's a six or, you know, whatever it might be. Now, granted, there's different parts of a course. I know you could stick the going stick in a million places and probably get different ratings, but it would sure be nice to have a little bit of a little more precision than just three or four names tossed out there.
Well, fun card today, and then tomorrow you got to. What's your best bet tomorrow?
You'll have to bear with me here. I'll have to call it up. I was so dialed in for today. If you
That's
bear
all right
with me. So much has passed since I originally handicapped it, including the opener at Churchill Downs. So, but I believe off the top of my head, I think Moms on Strike is in a great position to rebound. I know she lost up at Saratoga, but her, you know, it was an off the turf race that I think compromised her. But she showed so much promise when in the spring here. She won the Grade 3 Bewitch, I think, off the top of my head, and I think she's in a nice spot to rebound at Kentucky Downs on Thursday.
Well, that'll be the last stake of the meet, the Ramsey Farm. Tomorrow, also the Franklin Simpson, and some good maiden action on Thursday as well. Byron King, always great to connect with you. You mentioned Churchill, and the season gets started, the September meet. Just a brief, kind of a brief visit, but important to get things going, and we will be looking forward to visiting with Marty on Friday. For those of you that aren't following Byron, why not? DRF Byron King on Twitter, and the lead handicapper for the Kentucky Circuit for the Daily Racing Form. BK, I appreciate it. Good luck today.
My pleasure, Steve, and you have yourself a great Wednesday afternoon.
Byron King, folks, always thoughtful and got a good opinion. We'll look forward to the action today. We're going to look forward to a visit with Seth Merrow next to close out the Wednesday edition and send you out into the race day. I think Seth actually looked at Kentucky Downs too, so we can juxtapose opinions and see what Seth likes. Back after this, Seth Merrow joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes to noon on this Wednesday. And boy, if you thought the weather was nasty during the Saratoga season, you should be here now. The one lousy day after another. Seth is back from Maine because, you know, you can't stay on vacation indefinitely. You can only say that you worked really hard during Saratoga for, they give you about 72 hours to claim that. Good morning.
Hey, wait a minute. I used a week.
They gave you a week?
Yes, because we head to Canada tomorrow. So I took some time off actually taking, and it was just a transition. We want to do one or two shows before we do go to Canada. So there was a, it was a whole conversation, but we had the Canada and kicked back in really Saturday and Sunday live with Mike.
Well, I mean, you know, Seth Merrow on the road, it's special. Are they going to get you? They should get you one of those Charles Kuralt campers, an RV.
I'm for that. I'm all for that. Then I can let somebody else drive and I can be in the back and sleep on that drive.
Well, there you go, folks. Some real insight into Seth right there.
Well, you know, I can't offer anything on the ride. I'm not giving anything to viewers or listeners or anything on a ride. You want me rested? You want me rested? I I do want to say before we go any further, though, it's kind of funny. Speaking of Maine, I was sitting in Maine. I guess it was Sunday. I'm just kind of kicking back on Sunday. There's a knock on the door. I open the door, and I hope he's listening. Bill Bartlett, who is an equine dentist, he and his wife live up the road in Maine and had heard me on your show a number of times. He's a regular listener. He said one of the cars he bought recently had Sirius XM in it, so he listens to your show all the time, listens to me on Wednesday mornings, and heard me talking about Maine on visits, and that it could be one of the last ones. And so he and his wife took a drive down to say hello, which was very nice. So I chatted with Bob and his wife for, I don't know, 20 minutes or a half an hour. They were in their kind of classic Skylark out for a Sunday drive.
Ooh.
And came down to say hello. And he said he does some equine dentist work at Scarborough, but during the season, he bounces back and forth to Saratoga. And in the winter, he works down at Tampa. I said, hey, hit all my hot spots. Perfect. So again, Bill Bartlett, equine dentist. I just wanted to give him a shout out, and I said I would tell you, you know, you have an active audience up in Maine.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. I sounds like you provided a maybe a better response to someone knocking on the door than I might. I know Tina might be a little alarmed. I don't know how she would react to that. She stands there and taps her foot sometimes when I'm talking to people that, you know, that come up and say hello, and you know, she gives me about a 90 second to the 2.5 minute kind of window.
I'm happy to talk to people. It really only happens during Saratoga. Because obviously, you know, being on OTV TV, that's the core audience, and they recognize me for TV.
Yeah.
I do the Channel 10 thing a few days a week, too, so that a lot of people recognize me for that. But otherwise, you know, well, I'm down in the studio the rest of the year, and you get kind of zero feedback there. So I'm happy to kind of shoot the breeze and you know, interact a little bit.
That's true. It's nice because when you're a shut in all winter, it's nice to circulate and get that interaction. Well, time to get some selections. We got about 6-7 minutes. I just had Byron King, and now we're gonna bounce some Kentucky Downs off of you. And of course, this has been convenient, frankly, with Belmont taking these first 2 weeks back after Saratoga, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'll resume the Wednesday race week next week. But as a result, we get the focus today, tomorrow on Kentucky Downs, which is kind of cool.
It's fun. It's a fun track. I have to admit, it's a little bit of a skull buster. Well, I was going to say for me, I think for everybody, if you look at a lot of the prices, but it's fun. You get the nice big fields, and if you're right, you get paid, which is fun. And I heard you earlier talking with Byron, and yeah, I looked at the last pick five today, starting in race six races, 6.5 on the grass, and a horse I have in right underneath did make it in from the AEs. I used the 13 underneath, but 1, 13, 12, and 6. 12-1, I thought Love on Ties, and I heard you kind of talk a little bit about this one, too. I went back to last year, the race over this track, one on the track. I like that. Seems to be coming in some decent form from Churchill, Ellis, and most recently Arlington, which was off the turf on the synthetic, but that was a good try. So I think the horse is in some good form, has a little form over the track in the past. So the 12-1, I put Love on Ties on top. And then first on the AE and made it in with the scratches, Go Lady J, I think could be a little bit live. The last race was not one to get super excited about, faded a little bit late, but I thought the two or three just before that were good enough to contend with this bunch, and you're also getting 12-1. So, again, for me, 1-13, 12, and 6 in the sixth.
1-13, 12, and 6. So we actually overlap quite a bit, except for you didn't like Sanity. All right.
I had notes on Sanity. It was one of those where the other ones just were a little more attractive, but I would not argue against Sanity at all.
Going
seventh
to
race,
the rest. Yeah.
Seventh race, the mile and 70. I went 12, 11, 7, and 3. May Lily on top. You and Byron both talking about this one. I have that one on top. What I like about it, I like the Foleys down in Kentucky. Greg and Vicky Foley. It just seems like they can get some horses over at prices at the various Kentucky tracks. So with Greg Foley training, that attracted me a little bit. Comes in off a couple of decent races, spring and summer, down at Churchill and Ellis. So it has had a little bit of a layoff, obviously, since that Ellis race, but I thought the workouts were okay. So May Lily looks like a contender. Oh So Terrible off the number last time in the Beverly D. That number, obviously, that was a little bit of an aberration, but I think if this horse comes back just a few points, still is going to be a contender in here. And then in the third spot, I went with Auntie's the One, who, again, seems to be in some pretty good form, good improving form. The question mark is those were on dirt. But it's Ken McPeak, and I think, you know, not necessarily Kentucky Downs, but it's been going okay over the past, month or so, 3 weeks or so. Certainly the win up at Saratoga and the nice stakes win up there. But there's some back turf form that I think says the horse might be interesting today at a 10-1 price. So 12, 11, 7, and 3 in the seventh.
All right, keep going.
All right, I will. Eighth race, the Oaks, 4, 11, 3, and 12. I put Overthinking on top. Vicky Oliver, and another one of those where I went back and has a win at Kentucky Downs. Seems to be a nice improving form, highlighted by the race out at Del Mar. It just seems interesting that they decided, hey, let's ship up to Del Mar and take the shot. Now, that could be the Del Mar number. It's just a little bit inflated because it does look like an aberration. Or it could be this horse is in that improving form. I'm going to go on that. And I think at the 12-1, I'll get paid to take that shot. So I'll put Overthinking on top. We'll go out to the 11, Heavenly Love, the Mark Cassie runner that ran fifth last time in the Lake George. You know Mark Cassie's going to bounce back, though. That Saratoga meet had to be disappointing to Mark and his team, but he's going to bounce back nicely. And I think this horse may be one of those that will make that move to rebound the numbers that we were seeing before that Lake George up at Saratoga. And then Pamina. You guys were talking about this one earlier. This is probably the one you have to beat. Lightly raced, improving. Nice race last time in the Pucker Up. And so I think this one, as they say, is probably the one to beat. I didn't include the Jonathan Thomas horse. You talked about that, who ran nicely up at Saratoga and only the third career start. I wouldn't argue anybody off of that one at 8-1, the list there. But I went 4, 11, 3, and 12 in the 8. And in the Derby, ninth race, I have 9, 7, 4, and 6. Channel Cat on top, the Pletcher runner, good second in an optional claimer last time, up at Saratoga, fourth before that in the Belmont Derby. Both of those were pretty solid numbers. I think fits nicely in here. In a tough race, though, I will say. I mean, I think it's a very competitive race. Captivating Moon for Chris Block comes in off a good number, but a fifth place finish in the Secretariat, but was a good second before that in the American Derby. Just seems to be in good form. The numbers moving in the right direction seems kind of logical. And then Rewrite, it took a little shot with. I am not totally convinced on this one. I wasn't thrilled at all with this one in the Jim Dandy, but I think, yeah, another try on turf. I'll give this one a little bit of a shot. So in the Dueling Brown Derby, 9, 7, 4, and 6. And then to wrap things up in the $130,000 maiden special weight 10th race, I have it 6, 12, 11, and 5. I put Art Collection on top. I think if you look at the first two races, they were very promising. They were near misses, but with good numbers. The last time, tried a stakes race on the dirt over at Ellis. I think the return to turf is going to be beneficial. So Art Collection on top. St. Denman in the second spot. Solid numbers in the first three starts. Nice improving finishing positions as well. So seems primed for a good try. And Praetorian for Steve Asmussen. Just find it interesting that the move from Southern California, the move into the Asmussen barn, the move to turf at 12-1. I think Praetorian could be an interesting player in here at a little bit of a price. So 10th and final, 6, 12, 11, and 5.
All right. There is a scratch that you can take that 8 out and the 14 gets in. FYI, for those that haven't seen, that haven't had a chance to to do the scratches yet. I appreciate it, Seth, and good luck. It's a fun afternoon. We got about 2 minutes left. Let me switch gears to close out. Did you have well, if you weren't on the air yet, you haven't had a chance to talk to Pat Cummings, but your breakage, did you catch up on the breakage conversation?
Yeah, that's a conversation kind of we had a couple of times over.
Yes,
I had Pat, I had Pat on with me at Saratoga, so we talked with him, and then you and I had Marshall on, and we talked that as well. You know, to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. The only any time we talk about issues like this, the one thing you always have to step back and what are the unintended consequences, and the unintended consequences are this one of. Some of that breakage money goes to things you would like to see get funded, and so maybe some of those things have to be worked out. But ultimately, it's the players' money, and we're at a time where breakage is just kind of an anachronism. I mean, it can be done; it can be done easily. And again, it's our money, it's the players, and so it's an issue that just seems to be kind of a no-brainer. And maybe it's a good issue for this the TIF the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation to kind of jump on early on, because again, it seems like a no-brainer. Doesn't seem like it would be that difficult to implement, and so again, it seems like now that an organization is there that's pushing it a little bit, maybe it'll move to the forefront. And again, it's probably a good issue for them to start out on. I just don't see too much controversy developing around it. It seems completely logical and something that's very doable as well.
Agreed, and made the point myself yesterday that I would think an ADW could give themselves a marketing advantage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If they jumped on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody steps up to the plate and they're their first. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That would be a PR coup, so to speak.
Yeah. Seth, 2 days of Kentucky Downs to round out their meet, and they're going to smash all their handle records. They're doing a lot of things that players appreciate, and should be a fun couple of days. I appreciate the insights, and have
been
a great trip to Woodbine.
Just on handle, I'll reiterate, you know, some good news over the past few weeks. With the end of Saratoga and the weather they had, the numbers they put up, Monmouth also dealt with some weather, and they still had some decent numbers. Kentucky Downs with the numbers. So I think over the past few weeks, some good news. It looks like things are working out. Certainly they did the two sales at Saratoga, the Open and the New York Bred, but now down in Keeneland again. So I think, you know, some good news for the racing industry. And again, yeah, we'll be up at Woodbine live programming Saturday and Sunday morning. The people can watch, obviously, locally here in the Albany-Saratoga area, but you can also catch it on the Capital OTD website. Should be fun because that mile is shaping up very nicely. The Visadero, Good Samaritan, Delta Prince, I think it's going to be really tough for Jimmy Jurgen. So looking forward to our trip to Woodbine.
Well, you know, I suppose that there might be special programming on the drive to and from Woodbine. How about Moose on the lead?
Yes, I will suggest that. I'll suggest
there you
that.
Go. I couldn't resist. Moose on the lead.
I'm good for it.
Seth Merrow, everybody, who you can follow on Twitter. How many followers are you up to?
It's slowed down after the initial, and I just have to keep, I got to keep tweeting. I'll do something from Canada. Promises, good stuff from Canada. I tweeted the other day from Scarborough down, so that's that
nice.
Was kind
of fun. Nice. 625.
Well, there we go.
31 tweets. 2 likes, and still hasn't followed anybody.
I got to figure that out. I got to figure that whole thing out.
Seth Merrow, everybody. Always entertaining. Byron King, Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale, Pete Fornital, and a special welcome back visit with Stanley Huff. A lot of fun. Good luck today. Talk to you in the morning. There ain't no fairies on the tree. Some people are staying.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund direct deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
summer is one of the best times for serious horse players to bet their races. Saratoga and Del Mar are in full swing, along with other top tracks like Gulfstream and Laurel, and ExpressBet puts them all at your fingertips. Plus, ExpressBet customers can play in exclusive tournaments and promotions this summer, and new customers can earn a $500 sign-up bonus. Visit ExpressBet.com today. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.